But you think it's wonderful to get to push a wheelbarrow. Isn't that a great thing? Does everybody have one? I don't. I've got Gary's right now, and it's come in handy several times. Linda likes it when I take her from the house to the car. No. No, that's not it. This is Labor Day, and a lot of people are camping or doing something, and that's good. It's good to get to do things like that and to enjoy that. And we're going to talk about labor just a little bit, and we're going to look at this passage in Matthew 20. But it really starts in Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, Jesus starts talking there, and he gives a parable. And these two parables are really a lot alike. And they have sometimes almost the same point. In chapter 19, starting at verse 16 through 30, it shows us that a man here who has so much. He's a rich fella, and he's young, and he's a ruler, and he's going to do what's right. And he comes to Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, Master, you know, what have you got to do to have eternal life?" He's looking for maybe one more thing to do, and then he's accomplished that. We're all task-orientated, or at least most of us are. We have a task, and we're going to do that task, and we're going to accomplish that, and when we accomplish it, then we're going to something else. But you see, Christianity doesn't work that way. Christianity is a daily, everyday life. It's not something that you do, and you come up here, and you're baptized, and you're, that's it. That's all you got to do. That's not it. This is a way of life. It's a way that we live our lives. And so here this young man came to him, and Jesus, he asked Jesus how he could have eternal life. Jesus told him, if you want eternal life, then keep the commandments. What's that? Don't steal, don't lie, be good to your mother and father. And he mentioned some other things there. He said, I've kept those things from my youth up. What else do I like? One of the Gospels said that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Here was a man who wanted to do what was right. Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. What is it? I'll do it. If it's just one more thing, I can do that. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. The young man went away sad because Jesus asked him to do something that was very near to his heart, give up his money. Anytime you ask people for money, you're guaranteed they get nervous, you know. I even tell people sometimes, I'm a preacher, hold your billfold. They think I'm going to ask for money every time. And a lot of preachers do. Nothing wrong with that if they're going to be using it right. But here, this young man was looking for this one thing to do. What I want you to understand about this parable is that sometimes the way we judge and the way God judges are totally different. If we had seen a man who said, I'm obeying the commandments, I don't steal, I don't lie, I'm not after my neighbor's wife, I'm not going to do any of those things that are wrong, I'm going to put God there, I'm going to obey the commands, we'd say, that's a great person. Great church member, let's have that fella here. Put him on the front row. But the problem is God judged him by his money and how he used it. And he saw that the thing between God and between him, God, and this man was his money. And God said, this is the judgment. This is the judgment you've got to give. Do you judge other people? Do you judge how they do the things they do? Do you look at somebody and say, man, that is a great Christian. He is doing everything exactly right. He is a great example. And it's good to have those people. But do we also look on the other side and say, wait a minute, you know, Charles is not that good a Christian, you know. He didn't come like he should. He didn't study his Bible like he should. And so he's not as good as this other person. We've got to be careful that we don't start judging other people. And that's part of what they're doing here in this next parable that he gives in chapter 20. He starts with verse 1, and I appreciate the reading of that. I know it was a long reading, but I wanted you to hear all of that. Here is this parable. Here is a man who is willing to understand something. And Jesus is trying to explain about the kingdom of God. And he wants people to understand that and know about that because he wants people to become a part of it. And so here he talks about a fella who has a big farm. And so he goes out. I think I've mentioned to you before, I grew up near Atlanta. And there was a place in town. In fact, there was a place in downtown Atlanta that you could drive up and there'd be guys just standing there. They're standing there now, but they're not really wanting to work. But at that time, the fellas knew where to go to stand and work. In every town, probably in Athens, if some of you would tell me about that, there's a place where people used to go that were day laborers. And they would go and stand, and somebody come up with a pickup truck and say, I need five people, and they file in the back. And then they go work that day, and they receive the wages for that day. So here this fellow goes out, he's got a vineyard. It needs to be taken care of. There's vines that need to be cut. There's weeds that need to be pulled. There's grapes, maybe if it's that time of the year, that need to be picked. So he goes out and he hires some people. He brings them in, and he says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'll pay you so much. The New King James says a denarii. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to change that, okay? I'm going to say he's going to give them $50 for the day. And so we'll just change that a little bit, and you'll understand it maybe a little bit more when we put it in our money. I'm going to give you $50. Now, we've got to understand the Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the morning and it ended at 6 o'clock at night. So what he was expecting them to do was to work that 12 hours. And they started at 6 and they quit at 6. Okay, these fellas get there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they're working. And it's getting hot. And then the master of this vineyard goes out and he sees some other people out there. And they're not working. He said, you know, do you need a job? Yeah, okay, go over there. He talks about the different hours that he goes in the day. And then finally, to cut to the chase, the 11th hour he goes out. And there's some people standing there still. And they said, why? He said, why aren't you working? Nobody's hired us yet. He said, you go to my field and you work and I'll pay you what's right. I'll give you what's right. Okay, they go out and they work and they labor. And you see, this is the important thing, the thing that we need to understand. And God has a lesson in this for us to understand about the kingdom. Now, this is what we want to look at. First of all, God is seeking laborers in His kingdom. Now understand that. I know you say, well, that's a stretch to say it because of that parable. But no, God is seeking people to work in His kingdom. That's what He wants. God does not want people just sitting around and sleeping around and doing nothing all day long. He's got works for everybody to do. The great thing that the church needs to do is to give everybody a job and expect them to do it. They need a job. They need labor. Don't you feel good when you get out and work? You say, you hadn't worked much, you're a preacher. I'm telling you, it makes you feel good when you get out and work. And you come in and you're tired. You can rest, it seems, a little bit better. If you rest all day, it's kind of hard to rest at night, I guess, isn't it? If you're just already resting, what do you do? But it's God wants people to labor. God wants people to work in His kingdom. And so God goes out. I guess if we want to say this landowner, this fellow that owns a vineyard, is represented by God. And God goes out and He calls people to come in. He calls people to come in to His kingdom, to His church. And He asks those people to come. And He works out a wage that He's going to give each one of us. Now, you may be like some of the people at this time. Some of the people were Jewish people, and they felt like that they were those that deserved more than God would give anybody else. They made a judgment of other people. And it wasn't something that just stopped automatically. It was something that continued. You go to Acts 10, you can see Cornelius and his household being added to the church, which caused a little stir in Jerusalem. Here's these Gentiles, and now these Gentiles are going to be brought in. What's it going to be? We're going to have Gentiles coming in and sitting in the services with us, just like everybody else. Is that going to be right? Is it going to be right for those Gentiles to do that? Well, you know, let's understand something. Now, the Jews have figured this out. The Gentiles, it's all right if they come in. But we know that they're not the real, true Christians. And so we're going to look at them a little bit different. And God's going to judge them a little bit different. And God's going to look at them a little bit different. And he'll allow them to do this and this where he won't allow these Gentiles to do that. And you can see the stir that's caused. In fact, that's part of Paul's ministry, is to go and to work with the Gentiles and to help them to understand that. These people needed to understand that they needed to work in the kingdom. They needed to understand that every worker was needed there. Now, I want you to understand this. The way God saves people is the same for everybody. The way God saves people shows how much he wants us saved. Now, if you go to Ephesians, the first chapter, and you start looking at verses 4 through 6, you see there where it talks about how that God, before the world was even created, he predestinated people to be saved. Now, some people misunderstand that and think he's talking about individuals. What he's talking about is a group of people. God has said that he is going to save people that are a part of his church, that are those people that are saved. He's predestinated that. Anybody that has faith in him and follows his will be saved. That's it. Now, we've got to go back and look sometime at what he requires us to do, what he wants us to do as those people that are part of the kingdom. And we understand that. We understand what he's trying to say. He wants to save us. John 3 and verse 16, God sent his Son into the world to save us. In Romans, the 5th chapter, and in verse 8, he helps us to understand some important things about this too. He wants us to understand that God has demonstrated his love toward us while we were still sinners. He sent his Son to die for us. First of all, God wants everybody saved. God wants everybody in his kingdom. God wants everybody to be a part of that. God wants everybody, just like the landowner, he wanted everybody to be able to have a job. And so we hired people all the time. Now, we want to look at the point of this in just a little bit and understand a little bit about the point. God is calling people to be saved. That's what he wants. That's what happened in Acts, the 2nd chapter. That's what's happening today and every day. Not just on the first day of the week, but every day. We're calling and asking for people to follow God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it helps us to see that we need to be people that we are looking for those things to do within the kingdom of God. We're looking for those things to accomplish within God's kingdom. We're looking for works to be able to do. You see, not only is God seeking us, but we need to seek God. We need to seek to work for God. Because that gives us a fulfillment. I think sometimes if we had people who were working more in the kingdom of God, you wouldn't have as many fusses and fights and trouble and difficulties going on in the church. If we wouldn't try to judge each other as to who's greater than another person. And people do that, and it's so wrong to do that. Let's quit that. That's God's business. They're God's servants. I think I heard somebody preach something about that. I think Travis said something about it Wednesday night. We need to be people who recognize the importance of this and the importance of doing the will of God, the importance of serving God, the importance of accomplishing the things that God wants us to accomplish. Now, we must understand that there is work to be done and we need to be seeking those that are workers also in the kingdom. This is a part of it. It's not just that we're going out to seek to baptize people. We're going out to seek people so that they can be a part of the kingdom of God. God saves people. I don't, and you don't. God does that. That's God's work. And God helps those people to see the works that need to be accomplished. We can see that these fellows, you start in verse 3 of chapter 20 there in Matthew, you can see there that he's going out seeking those people. Doesn't make any difference what time it is, when it is. Doesn't make any difference how old they are. A person can become a Christian when they're a teenager or maybe even before that, 8, 9, or 10. They can become a child of God. But you know, a person that's 60 and 70 and 80 years old can also become a Christian too. And they receive the same reward. You say, now wait a minute. That's not right. That's part of what we're talking about. That's part of what we need to understand. That's part of what we need to see. We need to have a desire to enter into the kingdom. We need to have a desire to help other people become a part of that kingdom so that they can work and labor in the kingdom and show the glory of God in their lives. These people were unemployed. They needed employment. People need salvation, and we can help them to have that salvation. So we want to help them to do that. That's what God has asked us to do, is to help people to know what the kingdom of God is and help people to be able to accomplish those things, accomplish the things that need to be done. We've got to be willing to do that. And so that's something that we can do. We have the power to invite people to come in, and God wants them in. God doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't care how young you are. He doesn't care whether you're smart, whether you're not as smart as others. That has nothing to do with it. And you see, we don't need to judge people that way either. But we do sometimes, don't we? We judge people according to their knowledge. When we need to leave the judging up to God, we need to allow God to be the one that judges and determines how things are going to be. All right, now, look at this, and this is an important thing. There is a reward for us. Now, God is not asking you to work and labor in the kingdom of God without giving you a reward. He doesn't ask that. He's willing to pay for your labor. He's willing to do that, and we've got to understand that. God rewards us for those things that we're doing, that we're accomplishing. Now, please understand, though, there's something we have to really comprehend about this. God is not rewarding us because of how good workers we are. Are we the best workers in the kingdom of God? Well, we start then looking around at some people and saying, well, I'm better than that one. I'm not as good as that one, but I'm better than that one. Let me tell you something, brethren. We need to quit that. That shouldn't be a part of us. That shouldn't be anything to do with us. We've got to understand that God pays people, and it's Him. He's the one that does that. He's the one that does that. He pays people if they obey the gospel when they're 85 just as much as He does those when they're 10 or 12. He doesn't hold anything back. But somebody says, wait a minute, I've been a faithful Christian for 40 years, and old Charles comes walking in, and he obeys the gospel, and God's going to give him the same thing He's going to give me? Yes. That's the point of this. It doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It makes no difference at all. You have the power to come and be a part of the kingdom of God. You have the power. You have the power to be able to be there with God. We've got to understand that. We need to quit comparing ourselves among ourselves. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, and verse 12? He said there, we compare ourselves among ourselves. And he said, listen, he said, it's not wise, it's foolish to do that, and we don't need to do that. Get out of the judging business. Get out of the determining business as to who's saved and who's not saved. Let's help people to see what the gospel has to say and encourage people to follow that and do that. That's what we need to be doing. God's the one that gives the increase. God's the one that saves. What we do, our job is to teach people. That's all it is to teach people. We teach people. Those people that want to hear that will hear it, and they will follow that. And so we've got to be willing to do that. In Galatians 6 and verse 4, verses 3 and 4, said, if anyone thinks that he is something great when he's nothing, he's fooling himself. Brethren, we've got to be careful about complimenting ourselves on our Christianity and how good we are and how faithful we are. I've just seen preachers, you know, that you know, they feel like, oh man, we're just so far above this one, and we can talk about this guy and we can talk about that guy. Let me tell you something. We need to quit that. I've seen people in the church, they'll talk about another congregation. I mean, another congregation where there are Christians there. Now, they may be different than we are. But we have to understand God is their judge. Let God judge them. Now, if there's something wrong, we need to go talk to them about that. But we don't need to get into the judging business. That's God's business. God will handle that. God will deal with that as God needs to deal with that. We must be careful that we don't become jealous of other people and what they're doing. While some congregation down the road, man, they've got 1,000 people, and they're building a $10 million building. And I've seen people go, yeah, uh-huh. Let me tell you something. Quit that. It's not only not wise, it's foolish. Be grateful that our brethren are growing as they should grow, and they're following God's word as they should follow God's word. We need to do that. We've got to use this thing of faith and learn to trust in God, and not to be jealous of what other people are able to accomplish, or maybe glad because they're not able to accomplish some things. We don't need to live that way and do that. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 15 and 16, it said, "Rejoice with those that rejoice, and to weep with those that weep." We need to be concerned about our own brethren. We need to be concerned about people of the world. We need to be concerned about their soul and helping them. That's what the Lord was saying here. He was saying, listen, I want people to come in. Young, old, whoever they are, I want them to come in and be a part of the kingdom of God. And we don't need to be jealous like that. We don't need to have that in us. God is just. And God will justify those that need and deserve justification. He will help us. He will distribute whatever is needed in the proper way. He'll give it to the proper people. I want to leave the judgment up to God. You know, we judge by works sometimes. We judge by our own works. I've done this and I've done that. Therefore, do you know all of us are saved not by our works? But what saves us? Jesus Christ. His blood on the cross. Now, what did I have to do with that? Nothing. Well, where does this thing of labor come in? And it seems like in the church, we have a problem with that. If we say somebody is saved by the grace of God, some people go, oh, no. We are saved by the grace of God. We are saved because of what God did for us in the giving of His Son on the cross. We are saved by that. Well, somebody says, well, if you're saved by grace and you don't have to work, oh, yes, you do. You work because you're saved by the grace of God. You labor because God has given you such a great gift of your salvation. And in giving that, we have salvation. In Acts, the second chapter, what great thing had those people done there to deserve, to honor, to receive as praise in their life the salvation that God offered to them? They'd crucified the Son of God. They'd tried to hurt Him in so many ways. They'd tried to turn away from Him. How could these people be saved? They were saved because Jesus Christ died for their sins. And God offered salvation to all those people. Could He offer salvation to people who had crucified His Son? Yes, He could. And He did. And He offered that in such a way as to cleanse us and help us to be the right kind of people and live the right kind of way. And He offers it to every one of us. He offers it to all of us. And it doesn't make any difference who we are or what we are or what we have or what we don't have. God is just and He's fair. And He will give out the rewards that are needed, the honors that are deserved, the praise that is there. Now, we have to be careful in this life that we don't praise and honor people too much. We've got to be people who recognize what God has done and what God has offered. God here offered salvation to all those people, all the laborers. What about those people that came in the 11th hour? I mean, I said they worked from 6 to 6. Here's a fellow you hire at 5 o'clock. And he gets the same as the guy. Now, you see, the master told his servant, call the fellows in that were working. And he said, let the first that were hired, let them wait, they'll be last. Now let's take these people that were hired at the last. And he gives them, I said, the $50. Now, what are the people thinking that hired in the first part of the day? Well, we're a little bit better than that. They got 50. We're going to get more than 50. But when they received their $50, when they received the same amount as the people that worked only an hour or 3 hours or 4 hours, what happened? They started murmuring. They were jealous. They were not happy. Wait a minute. Now, we've worked all day. What did you agree to? What did you agree to when you became a Christian? To give your life to Jesus Christ, to give Him all you have. That's what you agreed to. What does He expect? He expects you to deliver that. Well, maybe somebody obeys the gospel and they're 80 years old and they don't have time to remember to go through and memorize all the books of the Bible. They don't have time to know everything there is about salvation and what a person needs to do to live the Christian life. They don't understand every bit of that. That makes no difference at all. God's the one that judges. We're not. God's the one that judges and God's the one that blesses people. We've got to understand what God has done for us, what God offers for us, and the blessings that He offers for every one of us. All will be honored. As God has said they will be honored. The way they will be honored is by God. He's the one that makes that judgment. When the last will and testament of Jesus Christ is read, God will be the one that carries it out. He'll be the one that will carry out that law, that will of man. Got a passage I want you to hear. Well, you can read it, I think. Yeah, there it is. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 8. Listen to what Paul says here. Now there is in store for me, something for me, for Paul, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the right kind of judge, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day. And not to me only. And he said, I'm going to receive a reward. But that reward's not just mine. That reward is for everybody. Not just to me only. But also to all who have longed for His appearing. Paul said here, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you're from, I don't care who your family is, I don't care how old or how young you are, I can offer you the salvation, this righteousness, this crown of joy that's there.